Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we will get going here. Lord, thank you for this opportunity this morning to study your word. What a privilege it is to look into the very heart of the Creator, the one that loves us. And Lord, would you take these truths and help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've gotten down to some of the key steps for having a life that God can use, and it's very practical. And last week, what was our theme? Getting up on time. That's why I said, I'm surprised you came back. He said, no, I was going to get up on time, make sure I came back. But getting a jump on your day. And I probably would never have spoken on it, was it not part of this study, but it is really a big point. And so let me quickly review, because it helps us then when we get to the next section here. And that is that one of the keys to getting a good start on a day is before that day to have a basic plan, to have a purpose for that day, to have a motive, something that's deep within you to accomplish the things that you know God wants you to accomplish. If you have a plan and your motive is about the right things, it makes it it makes all of the difference. And then there will be needs that you have to always take care of. If you are a mother of small children, sleeping in is not normally what you initially do, because you have a need that will present itself. And then having a schedule and really looking to the Lord to keep that schedule. But now, the point is that when you go to bed at night, you look forward to the next day rather than just sliding into the next day. And that's really a big deal. In other words, I've got purpose for my life. I'm excited about the opportunity. It may be a difficult day coming up, things I don't like to do, but I'm glad to be alive and serve the Lord. And so this is what tomorrow is about. And when you have a positive or a positively realistic perspective on the next day, and have a right heart about it, it really does make a difference about how you get started on that day. And then we looked at the matter of coming to deal with that first choice, and that is to get up at the right time and to decide on how early you should get up. And by the way, I highly suggest regular time as much as possible, because your body rhythm and body clock will get set and you will find yourself many times beating your alarm. That's really nice, you know, 5 minutes ahead of time, all of a sudden you wake up and you're right there, so you don't even have to go through the alarm going off. But that does help. But it is a choice that needs to be made. And when you get up, in whatever's wise, depending on your circumstances, as early as is feasible, and you follow through and get right up, some of the most important part of the day will be the next little bit of time. And by the time you're really ready for the day, you still got a whole day ahead of you, instead of all feeling like you're working from behind right at the beginning. And so we talk quite a bit about that. Remember, this choice of getting up on time is going to affect the other choices that are laid out here in this book as far as having a life that really will accomplish the will of God. And so, you know, everything in life does depend upon the choices that we make. And I've already heard about some blessing this last week of just not caving in, but just being regular about getting up at the right time, and has already been an encouragement and a blessing. It can truly change your whole mood by just having confidence that I'm going to make the most of my day, and I am going to have this settled with myself that I'm not going to be going through this, hitting the snooze button over and over, or, you know, feeling guilty about not getting up. All of that can really destroy a good start to a day. And of course, the Lord Jesus, the Proverbs 31 woman, the women at the tomb, all of them great examples, the Lord especially, of the importance of getting up. So let me go over the list that was at the final part of the chapter for the last time. Some guidelines. Step number one, determine when you must get up to make your day go the way you want and need it to go. And be, you need to really think that through. And then, as I've said over and over, get to bed on time so that you get the rest that you need. Getting up early is not about getting less rest. It is about making the most of your day. And so, really, having a strong regimen of when you go to bed is a very key part of all of this. In our technology-driven day, you can waste an hour at the end of the day doing something that doesn't matter, and you've lost that extra hour that you really need. I mean, most people need 7 to 8 hours. And so you got to just think back. I want to get up such a time, therefore I've got to get to bed no later than. And I don't need to waste and fritter away my time in the evening. There may be key things that will keep you up late. That's understandable, and you'll have to adjust. But and again, I remind you, do not, ideally, the last half hour, don't look at a screen. But it's best, it's proven clinically, that if you don't look at a screen within an hour of going to bed, you will not have trouble from that going to sleep. You will have a far more restful sleep. And also remember, this is just a rule of thumb, but it's true, some of your most important sleep is before midnight. And you will find that if you can get to bed a couple hours, several hours before midnight, you will feel better. And then you can get up nice and early and get a great start on the day. This is actually pretty important. And I don't think I've ever really spoken on it much, but it's a whole chapter. So I said, well, I'm really glad we're going by the book. I can blame it on her. But it really is important, and it will change your whole outlook on life. I've seen people that really began to change in getting up consistently and early enough, and who have maybe struggled with discouragement. And that simple act alone changed their whole outlook on life. It's like all of a sudden there's hope. And so that is very important. Then step number three, set your alarm. Basic, but you know, get a good loud one that's obnoxious. That works well. Step four, pray, ask God's help for you to get up. Sometimes I'll have to get up extremely early if I have to go somewhere or have to meet the need of someone here in the hospital or something. And that's worth praying about. Lord, would you refresh me so that when I get up, that I will be as strong as if I hadn't had to get up so extremely early. And of course, get to bed earlier. You know, put all that together. And I found I felt sometimes the best I fell on those days when I pray about it, and God helps you do it. Purpose to get up no matter what. Step number five, don't give in to your body. And don't worry about not getting enough sleep. It's only for one morning. Remember the important adage, mind over mattress. And we gave you that profound saying last week. And then step number six, praise God when you hear the alarm. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And remember, I talked about that first few moments. Lord, thank you. This is great. Another day to serve you. Talk to him for just a second as you're getting up. It can change everything. Instead of, oh, yeah, you know, this, and this. Okay, so that's from last week. Now, fanning the flame of your heart. You're successful. You set your alarm, got to bed at a decent time, you woke up, and you're ready to face the day, and you have a basic idea of the importance of that day, and you're ready to go. There's going to be one big enemy that's going to face you. It's going to be, as you go to step number two, which is to get into the Word of God, to think biblically, you are going to be the typical lady with many responsibilities who is going to be overwhelmed by, I need to do this, this, and this, and this. Right? And sometimes they are demanding right at the moment, I understand that. But it is it is very important to make the commitment that nothing, unless it's an emergency that you have to deal with in your home, nothing is more important than you meeting with God. I know this is simple, but folks, this is where much anxiety builds up in people's lives because they get defeated here all the time. Now, it's not like you go do big things instead of doing your Bible reading and prayer, and we'll talk about prayer in the next round, but there's a bunch of little things you need to handle. Well, you know, I didn't fully finish the kitchen. I'll get that done before I read my Bible. Or, oh, there's some stuff over here I didn't fold, and so I'm going to fold and put up. Not a big deal. And, of course, you'd like to keep things in order. But if you have said it, that in your heart and mind, and you know it's God's will, and which I would think it is for all of us, to get up on time and then to right away meet with the Lord before you're going to have the other interferences of responsibilities that you have, then you have to say no to the myriad of little things you could get done that need to get done but are not primary. All right, is everybody tracking with me on this? You ever had that problem? We like to get something done that's quick to get done. And so there are things that all of a sudden are around us. We need to, and sometimes you need to write something down. Sometimes you need to do something. But it is so common for you when you get up to then run to a few projects that take up the time that really is time, the only time you're going to be able to spend quiet, uninhibited time with the Lord in the Word and in fellowshipping with Him. Because when, especially for a lady, when the day starts, it starts with a bang, you know, literally a bang, you know. And things get to going, and you say, well, I'll catch up on my reading at lunch, or I'll do it in the afternoon, I have a little time. Two things about that. Many times you never get to it. And by the way, you needed to meet with God first. Secondly, by the time you get there, your mind's all going and racing so much, you're really not able to quiet. Now, you can. You can meditate at any time. But it's hard in just the regular routine of a day to settle down. But there's something about the morning. I just have to emphasize this, folks, to quiet your heart in the still of the morning and to let God's Word go into your heart and life and to take time to fellowship with Him will change your day. It will give you direction. It will give you peace when you face trials. It's okay. You've met with God and He's met with you. It is one of the best prescriptions to overcoming anxiety. Start the day right. And see, the temptation here is that there's a lot of right things that could be done around you. Oh, I need to make this phone call. I need to write this email. By the way, don't get on your email before you talk to God. You say, by the way, it's an addiction, folks. Remember, addictions are things we do regularly, even if they're not the best, because we like the dopamine hit that it gives us. And the dopamine hit of having communication with whatever form of media that you have is a very high level. By the way, it's extremely high in teenagers. So be aware of that. They can be extremely addicted. You've heard me talk about it's higher than heroin, according to experts. So be very careful about that addiction for children. But adults can be addicted too. And so one of the best things you can do is say, you know, I need to hear from God first. I need to put first things first. Our modern distracted society, the only way I'm going to handle it is to be still and know that He's God, to take that time. And so get up early enough that you are able to spend time, a lengthy time with God, before normally your day gets going strongly, especially if you got little children. There's only precious few times that you're free. So I really encourage you to do that. and it will make a great difference. She gives the quotation from George Mueller. He was a man that had lots of pressures on him. He prayed in and cared for the needs of 10,024 orphans throughout his life. That's a pretty major thing. You know how hard it is to take care of orphans. He oversaw that, plus had a speaking ministry and so forth. And he says this, "The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I've read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. Each time it seems like a new book to me. Great has been the blessing from consecutive diligent Bible daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God." And that's how strongly we need to feel about it. And by the way, one of the secrets to George Mueller's prayer life was that he prayed with his Bible open. I mean, he was saturated with what God's will was, therefore he could go with confidence to the Lord and pray according to what God had clearly showed him and prompted him to claim. And so that's a great thing. So this is something, whatever you really choose to do will happen. I mean, you make it an absolute commitment. And so number one priority, after you have made the covenant with yourself to get up when you know you ought to get up and make provision to do so, is that the first thing, before things get going, before things get out of hand, you're going to seek the Lord, you're going to be in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, Satan will attack you in this. This is why you have to make this a very subtle conviction. And it will take you, if you haven't done this, it's going to take rigorous adherence to the schedule of getting up and getting in the Word and fellowshipping with God. And you've heard me say it many times, but at least 3 weeks without any exception, be accountable, whatever it takes, settle it. And then over the next 3 months, keep the same kind of thing going, and you will find it will no longer. See, you do what you really want to do. And when you get past all of the pressures of decision-making about what to do and your flesh reacting and your brain reacting, and then it gets down into your heart and you now have day after day of you seeing the difference it makes, your heart will say, well, obviously do this. It's just the kind of thing where you just don't want to do anything else. You can't, you don't want to live life that way. And that's where you want to get. So I appreciate how she has put this as the top priority here, and I think it's very, very important, and we just cannot put off. If you're too busy to have the Word of God and spend time in prayer, you're just too busy. You've got to reorder your life. But a lot of it is just getting up on time. A wasted half hour you didn't need to be in bed, or a wasted hour could have been with God. And that is very important. Now, some thoughts here about the Word of God that is given, things that we know, but it's just good to remind ourselves. The Word of God will keep us from wrong behavior. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And it's a very important matter to let truth come in and let your convictions and your conscience be bathed in the Word of God, and you also understand His power and His grace to help you at a time of pressure, and it will change your life. It will keep you from wrong behavior. Also, it will give you the right direction. It's a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We say those in Bible school every morning in our opening there, but how true it is there from Psalm 119. You will have the direction. I love the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, where he is praying that they will be filled with all the knowledge of God, knowing the will of God, and that they would be living with that confidence that they are in the will of God. You know, honestly, like, there's nothing deeper, more restful, and more encouraging than to know what I'm doing right now is the will of God. And sometimes they're not pleasant things. Sometimes they're hard things. But this is the will of God. It's okay. Because you've met with God, and the Scripture has given you clear direction on different principles and priorities in your life, and you've made the right choices, and you have a rest in your heart. But if you're constantly wondering, did I do the right thing, and am I putting first things first, a lot of times it'll point back to the fact there really hasn't been a good, thorough time in the Word of God, because God will lead and guide you. And then He'll guide you into truth. Truth, of course, is the basis for all of the faith that we have, so that we can believe God, His promises, His provision, who we are in Christ, all the things that change our lives. You know, I've preached on so many of those truths over and over, but when I read it in the Word of God, it's like this is the first time I heard it again. It just, man, that is such a glorious thing. And it just thrills your heart to be reminded of truth and to clarify truth. I saw something the other day in a verse that I've quoted almost every day in prayer, and I missed one word. And that word just exploded in truth for me. That was such a blessing. The Bible prepares you to serve others. We are naturally, our default position in life is to serve ourselves. And so for us to have the right attitude toward husbands, toward children, toward others, toward ministry, toward people we work with, toward situations that we're in, we must be in the Word, and that must be priority, because God will convict you every time about loving rather than self. And that's a wonderful thing. And then God will sharpen your discernment. All of these are coming, by the way, from 2 Timothy 3:16. But the Word of God is living. It's a power. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. It helps you see what is soulish. It helps you see what is spiritual. It will help you realize that, wow, I thought I was doing the right thing, but my motive wasn't right. And we can quit fooling ourselves. And then it gives us instructions for real life. So these are obviously very important matters. And then it's brought up that it's more than just reading it. That's why you hear I say, take an extended time. You can read your section of Scripture, even to do it in a year, and you can do it pretty fast and not necessarily gain all that much. You really need to take some time. In fact, that's why we put part of reading the Bible into the hour of prayer, so that it becomes an exchange between you and God. So you not only need to read it, but that's a huge start, but then you need to study it. And there are tools that you can have right there at your disposal, where you can look up a word and look at the historical context very quickly and write down answers to that. I'm not talking about a huge amount of time. You can do it pretty quickly. One of the rules of thumb you ought to have is go slowly enough that if you don't understand something, stop, you know, and try to get the answer. If you don't get the answer, mark down and write down, I'm going to get the answer today, somehow, some way. I want to know everything I read. And then hear it. The idea is you need to be listening to what God's saying to you. You need to have that personal I will statement that comes out of that. And then the more you can memorize, you know, the easiest way to memorize is to memorize the verses that God talked to you through. When they really meant something to you, write those down. I try to write down key verses that are promises or instruction. You know, it doesn't take but a little bit, and I got that thing memorized because I'm stirred in my mind and heart about what God talked to me about. I was convicted or I was encouraged. And so you write that down, you start going over it for the next few days, put it in part of your prayer time, boom, you got it. So don't be intimidated by memorization. Let the Word of God speak to you, and then memorize how He spoke to you and keep it. It's a great way to continue to grow in the Lord. And then just have a desire for it. That's the beauty of reading it. Just love the Word of God and let God work. Well, let me finish here today with the guidelines that she has for this here at the end of the chapter. And so we'll review some of the things here, but I think it'll be good. The Bible keeps us from sin. Let's keep that in mind. If we want a day in which we walk with God, we need to be in the Word of God. It leads us in the right direction, like I said. It gives us the answers that we need for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible works on your heart. And this is one thing, I mentioned it, but I want to stop on this. It is a discerner, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. Now, the soul is our personhood, our mind, will, and emotions. Our mind, will, and emotions can be controlled by either our flesh, our body of sin, or by our spirit, which is created in righteousness and true holiness the moment we're saved and indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're either spiritual, controlled by the Spirit, or you are fleshly, controlled by your flesh. The Word of God, it's like a sword, and it will divide. All right, what's soulish from a human standpoint, what's really spiritual? And it's so helpful to realize that, you know, I had an intellectual comprehension of this, but I'm not right on this. I'm rationalizing what I'm doing. Or you might emotionally have thought, well, this is what I ought to do, and this is okay for me to do because of whatever. And it's all emotion. All of a sudden you realize, no, that contradicts what God really says here. And then our will. You know, sometimes we can be depending on our will and we're just doing things. You know that you can be doing a lot of good things and not be right with God? And you can realize this is willpower. I'm counting on how I'm performing to think I'm spiritual and I'm not. And God gets right to your heart and divides it and you realize, whoa, the Spirit of God is not in control. He is not empowering me. I'm doing this through the raw exercise of my will, and it's good to have your will under control, but the Spirit of God is not working. And so it's so important, folks, to wake up to what genuine spirituality is. We want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I'm telling you, during my time with the Lord, that's one of the key things I talked to him about. I don't want anything to keep me from not having the fullness of the Spirit of God. And anything that will fool me, I want that dealt with. And then it should be your greatest treasure, more precious than fine gold, even sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. A good way to gauge where you are is how much do you love this book. In fact, if you start right, it won't be the last time you think about the Word of God. You're going to be having Scripture up around. You're going to be into the book at different times. You're going to be picking up books that have a direction toward the Word of God. It's just going to be the love of your heart, and that is so important. All right, basic stuff, but I'm telling you, it's where everything else is built upon, isn't it? And honestly, it's where Satan has attacked everybody in this room. Getting up on time and making the Word of God and fellowship with Him first priority. Isn't that the biggest battle? It really, but it doesn't need to be. You need to get it set in who you are. I'm going to get up when I'm supposed to get up. I'm going to make provision to get enough sleep because my time in the Word is ultimate. Nothing is going to predominate unless a massive emergency. This is going to be my life. You get that down in the core being of your life. And honestly, I'm telling you, anxiety, discouragement will be far more minimal. You'll understand the will of God. You will see God's power. You'll see God do things. And it really will change your life. So I appreciate the emphasis of the book in this. I think it's really key, foundational material. So we'll look forward to building on that next week.